The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive mime.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken für der Fass ist verboten!
State of war would exist between us. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
And to the noxious tomes of the world, welcome to...
I'm not noxious.
Yeah, you are.
I am not.
Aren't you?
Also not up.
What would you call it? What?
Love.
It's not love. It's love. No love.
It's love. There's lots of love in the room, and it's wafting towards the ceiling.
Good evening and welcome to Walk in the Black Forest, episode 280 on
Pete's
tonight's
dyslexic.
Show. Is he?
Yeah.
On tonight's show, the return of Hey Mr. President, pole-smoking Redux, the Woolworth News, Hammering Kyoto, plus all that is good to eat. Never mind. A walk in the Black Forest, I can't believe it's not smothered in butter and still fat-free.
I am smothered in butter.
And
you know what? It goes to my skin and just...
Abe, you should know better the professionalism not to draw attention to what Pete's wearing on the show.
Sorry.
It just goes on my skin and just melts.
Oh.
Just into little pools of limpid fat. So, that was, of course, the New York Dolls with,
Personality Crisis.
From 1973. Of course, the New York Dolls are still touring at the moment, I think with just two of them.
Yeah, it's more like the New York Doll.
And, of course, if you were a fan of New York Dolls and you'd like to hear some new stuff like that, you can hear the band that was based on them, the Goo Goo Dolls.
Exactly
and
right.
Of course, based
speaking
on the whole
of, speaking of the Goo Goo Dolls, I've been watching, on satellite.
I am really curious about this satellite inverted commas thing.
It's really good. I was at Pete's place the other night.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
It's a great satellite, yeah.
I had to bring my own binoculars.
Yeah. So we're watching on satellite, the next great American band.
Yes.
Which of course is the, made by the same people who made American Idol. Got three
you
judges.
You told us about this last time.
Did I tell you about this last time? The three judges?
Did I?
Yeah.
I did too.
A vague overview.
Okay, but yeah. the reason, because the Goo Goo, one of the judges is the guy from the Goo Goo Dolls.
And the Dick.
And the Dick, yes.
Yes.
Ian Dicko Dixon.
That's right.
And that's all I got to say about it, because I've told about it before. This is the Walk in the Black Forest, 288.5 FM.
I've been watching Kid Nation.
Have you watching Kid Nation?
Yeah.
And you weren't arrested this week?
No,
in the sting?
In the sting. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, that's very funny.
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, you should put that into a sketch.
I should do a sketch. That's funny. So how was it?
Look, it was interesting.
Can I just point out that I've had a sketch about America forming war against weird nations.
Throughout three wars. We know
throughout this. Three wars. Yeah. So like, sometimes it does happen.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it just never goes to air.
Or get recorded.
It's interesting. Have you seen any Kid Nation?
I've seen about 30 seconds, and that was on the trailer.
Okay, well, I've watched the whole first season.
Yep. On
How
satellite.
How could you have done that?
On satellite.
Binoculars, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
It's quite interesting because they're saying that it's contrived and sort of almost manufactured through the editing process because kids are kids, right?
Yep.
And you're going to have to create some sort of
tension, fight,
and story to go with it. The contract, which was released on, was it Smoking Gun or Memory Hole? Smoking Gun. It was basically saying that the adults and the children are not allowed to talk about anything to do with how the program was made.
Okay.
Anything behind the scenes, anything they saw, anything they understood, anything they participated in.
So, like that camera over there, I can't talk about that, or...
Exactly.
And that sound man with the big boom, I can't talk about
or
that.
Or, they are liable for $5 million.
Oh, jeebus! Right?
Now, of course, there was lawsuits after this, wasn't there? There was a number of lawsuits, I believe, by the government of New Mexico.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Were particularly pissed off about it, because I think it was filmed in New Mexico, if I remember correctly. And they were pissed off saying that this is actually against the law in New Mexico. It's actually...
Yeah, they were saying...
It's actually child labour.
Yeah, they were saying it's child labour, but CBS apparently wouldn't let the inspector in the three times that he came to the ranch.
And so the inspector went, all right, I'll come back later.
You come back later.
As opposed to coming back with guns.
Load up on guns.
Yes. But apparently CBS says, no, they're not, because they're not actually working.
But they are being paid.
They are being paid $5,000.
To star, inverted commas.
That's right.
So in a TV show.
Mm. I know, depending on who's asking, because when they're talking about actors' rights and stuff, they say, oh, yeah, they've been working. They work 14-hour days.
Yeah.
So they got all the privileges that they get for 14 hours. But when it's to do with anything else, no, they're not working.
But,
they're just guests.
Would you argue that, say The Biggest Loser, another one of those shows, they're on that for 24-7. Like, they're in there, they're doing, they're doing weights, they're doing runs, they're having to ogle, train a bob. They're doing whatever they do. Now, they don't get paid to be on The Biggest Loser. That's,
They get a payoff.
They have a payoff, which is look, ogling a train of Bob.
Yeah.
Would you argue that the kids are in that same sort of reality contestant mode? Except for they don't have train of Bob to ogle at.
Well, they might, but no.
Well, apparently also in the contract it said that the makers, CBS, while they would take all care.
Yep.
They would not be responsible or could not be held liable for injuries, illness, something else.
Disembowelment.
And get this, sexually transmitted diseases.
What? How old
that
are
is
these
actually
kids?
In the
these kids are like 12 or 13, aren't they?
They range from 8 to 14.
None of which would be in any way, shape or form legal to have sex, even amongst themselves.
But of course there's the crew.
There is the crew.
Now, the kids are split up into, after the first or second episode, they're actually split up into four districts, colour districts, and two bunkhouses in each, one for the boys, one for the girls. They just sleep on the floor in sleeping bags for the whole 40 days that they're there.
Very comfortable.
I reckon it's awesome. It's I want to do it. I think we should have our own version of Kid Nation.
Oh, look, all the kids loved it. At the end, they were all bonded together, and every couple of days, the council, who could be voted on and off depending on what happened, would vote for a certain kid to get a gold star, which was worth its weight in gold, literally. So a $20,000...
We'll do that in that really deep...
It's
worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, $20,000 gold star could mean the difference between nothing and a college education.
Could mean the difference between life or death.
So they gave one of these stars away every 2 days.
Survivor. Sorry.
But the whole point of it was that see if the children can create a better world. So they throw 40 kids with no laws whatsoever. They shove them into a town and basically say, do whatever you want.
Yep.
You sort yourselves out.
Yep.
And hopefully by the end of it, they would have organized themselves into a fantastic socialist commune that sort of, with no war and all
that
sort of stuff.
Or they would have become Lord of the Flies.
That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Well, that's what they compared it to that. But the whole point is, as soon as you get there, the whole experiment falls in a heap because it's like, we're going to give a $20,000 gold star every 2 days for the best performer.
Yeah, so the kids play.
So they work off their hut. They work all day. They work as hard as they can. They try and be nice to everybody just to get the riches, It's making
that's
them...
That's not socialist.
It's money. It's all about money.
Now, you mentioned about doing our own one. I've got an idea. And I know who could host it.
Looking forward to it.
I want to call it Kid Rock Nation.
Oh, nice.
We could actually bring Kid Rock in and we could all be like, look like Kid Rock.
Nice.
So, like, you'd actually get, like, a gold Pamela.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Why would we want to do that?
I know, because it was one joke connected to his name, that was it.
I like that idea. What we could do is the kids, during the show...
Or you could beat up... Who did he beat up? Tommy Lee.
Well, everyone's beating up Tommy Lee. During the show, it's actually not the whole show. It's an add-on to the show.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not a gold star, it's a gold mullet. It's the person who can grow the mullet the quickest,
yeah.
You see, and also carry off the Kid Rock thing.
That's hard.
I think they should...
It is tough.
They should seal it off.
Yep.
And put wild animals in there.
No.
Or even better, aliens.
Ooh. Well, you're in New Mexico.
See how they suffer.
It's not too hard for New Mexico. Yeah.
You know what would be interesting? Why don't they do an international version where the kids don't actually speak the same languages? So you've got a Japanese group of kids.
Yeah.
An English, Australian, American group of kids. You know, different countries, right? And they represent their countries and see their own little petty racisms come out and their prejudice and whatever. And you could have a lot of, like, you know, unfortunate kids. Maybe they've, like, you know, got some kind of disability or something, and see how long it takes. And then they take the food away and see how long it is for the other kids to eat the disabled kids.
Well, they took the food away. They did take the food away.
Did they?
Did they?
And made them starve.
Well, they had to do everything themselves. They had to do the laundry. They had to do the emptying and cleaning the toilet potties. They had to cook. You know, they had to clean the dishes. They wouldn't clean the dishes. It was a bit of a disaster there.
Survivor.
It was meant to be. It's in the middle of nowhere. When they first get there, you're in the middle of nowhere. You're a million miles from any civilization.
Mommy and Daddy can't help
you. On day 38, which is the second last, third last day of the thing, every couple of days, every day they do a challenge. And if they win the challenge, then they get a choice of two things. Usually one is something that will help them, like it's a microwave or a dishwasher some books to read.
Yeah, nice.
And the other one is just pure indulgence. It's like
chocolate.
A free arcade.
Nice.
Mini bikes.
Ooh.
You know, and all that sort of
helicopter
stuff.
Ride with Kid Rock.
And at the end, the second last one.
Second prize, two helicopter rides with Kid Rock.
That's very close. The second last one was a monument, which said, in 2007, the children of Kid Nation came together and made a better world. You know? It'll be there for eternity. Or a balloon ride. And they chose
Kid Rock.
Well, they chose the balloon ride, right?
Yeah.
And they go up on these balloons, and they're showing the view from the balloons, and not half a mile away, there's this fucking freeway.
A million miles from nowhere.
Via a freeway.
Except the Interstate 95.
Yes, exactly.
But you're too young to drive, so that's your bad luck.
It's actually quite interesting to watch. Yeah, look, there are highlights throughout the season. So
I watched.
You got to watch the whole thing though, because there's like interactions you got to follow.
I watched because Channel 10, of course, is showing at the moment, and I think they're up to like the third or fourth episode at the moment, aren't they? On the official Channel 10 version.
I think they're up to about four.
Four. There we go.
Four or five. Yeah.
The other thing I saw during the week was a reality show that's been on later on Channel 7, which I had watched in its first season, and it is of course. The nerd dating show. I can't remember the exact name. Do you remember the exact name?
I think it's I know it's Geek, so it's
Beauty and the Geek.
Beauty and the Geek.
Beauty
That's
and
right.
the Geek, where you get a bunch of vapid women.
Some of who are very hot.
Some of them are hot, some of which are American hot, which really isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Plastic and weird looking.
Yep. Mm. Then you get a bunch of geeks.
Uh-huh.
Rubik's Cube Master.
Uh-huh. Sega Master.
Computer Programmer. Not that I'm saying all computer programmers are geeks.
Yeah, they are.
In fact,
yes,
I am.
Yes,
they all are. Yeah, I actually say that.
They are. They're wankers. Yeah.
I was just humouring you. So...
I don't believe you half apologise. You feel so, like, threatened, do you?
No, I don't.
Right, what am I going to do? I'm going to touch you?
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm going to need to go to the bathroom after this.
Yeah. I swear the 7 minutes are up already.
I'm sure they are. But Beauty and the Geek's fantastic because
it's supposed to be a thing.
You get this guy who basically just walks to the camera, and you clearly like this guy. I can't talk because I'm suffering from anxiety at the moment. If I talk now, I'm just gonna suffer, so I'm just going to go over here. And he goes into a closet.
Oh.
He goes and sleeps in the closet because he can't sleep in the room with the beautiful girl.
Oh.
So he just goes and sleeps on the standing up, sleeping in the closet.
You think they would have checked his closet status before putting him on the show?
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, that's also
and did you notice I did that entire thing without actually making a cheap gag about coming out of the closet?
Richard just did it.
Yes.
Check it out. It's on Channel 7. It's called Beauty and the Geek. It's actually surprisingly funny.
Is it on binoculars cable?
It is on binoculars as well. You can get it on satellite, inverted commas.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, this is the Walk on the Black Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM. We shall be back after Bratmobile.
That's definitely 7 minutes.
That's definitely 7 minutes. That was Bratmobile.
That's how I got out alive.
Yeah, that's good. Watch Richard get out alive next week on CBS.
Literally.
No, watch him get out alive, figuratively.
Yeah.
Or philosophically.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually have a couple of Bratz dolls.
Do you?
Yeah.
I actually watched the Bratz movie.
How was it?
Shithouse.
Really?
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised? Why the hell are you surprised?
I wasn't. It was on satellite.
What is this satellite thing?
It's an amazing channel.
It's an amazing...
The world is an amazing place.
The internet is...
What are you doing? You've got an eastern suburb set of windsocks. There we go, rugby joke. Rugby joke for those of you overseas.
Check
it's a
it
league
out,
joke. That was the track called Love Thing. It was off the album Porty Mouth. This is one by Forest, Triple R, 88.5 FM. Mm. What are we going to do now, oh my peoples? Do we have any particular piece of news we want to do, or do we...
Not particular. I mean, let's talk about the Pope.
Okay.
Yes, let's talk about the Pope,
talk about the Pope and the shutting down of the New South Wales racing industry because we haven't had nearly enough of that this year.
So,
Not that it's a bad thing.
This week, the New South Wales Parliament passed the probably most draconian security laws that have been seen in this country, even more so than there was during APEC.
It's called the Orwell Charter.
Since the First Fleet.
Yes, the most draconian laws since... I got it.
I got it too.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was. But we let the audience laugh.
Hold on a second.
Pete? Yep.
It's called the Orwell Charter.
All right.
Gay. They're so gay.
But that's gay in a Kevin Smith way.
I don't know if it is.
You don't think it is? Right. So tell us about these laws, Richard.
Oh.
Because you've got the material.
I do. So. It's called the World Youth Day Amendment Bill.
Yep.
Which is put through by... And you can tell me, what is the affiliation of... Where is he? What's his name again?
The minister that's involved
with
this?
The Deputy Premier John Watkins.
Yep, and
is
and,
he
yep.
a Catholic?
Possibly. I do know he's a member of the left, which would give him a reasonable chance of being a Catholic.
He certainly wouldn't be an atheist.
I would suspect not.
And I believe Mr. Morris Yemmer...
Well, he's definitely Catholic.
He's Catholic.
Really?
That's because he's Roman.
They're all Catholic, right?
No.
There's no conspiracy here. Just because they're all Catholic doesn't mean they're nicer towards a Catholic. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, so the World Youth
Day Amendment...
And the
fact that they wouldn't meet Dalai Lama.
This is all because Pope Benedict is coming out here.
Pope Benedict, yes.
Benedict.
The whatever it is, 20...
See, that's funny, Abe. Come on,
Pope Benedict the 69th, yep.
Pete just ignored it, but I thought it was
hey,
funny.
Hey, look, I grew up Catholic. I actually have no modicum respect. What the fuck am I talking about? None at all.
Ding!
Hey, wow, how long was that into the show before the first one?
22 minutes.
So,
that's good. It's a record.
Randwick Racecourse, of course, which was just shut down for, what, about 6 months, Pete, you know?
Yeah, it was actually since
Must
March.
Have many billions of dollars that they lost in being shut down. About to be shut down again, of course, for
not
six
that it's
days.
A bad thing. We should say that it's not necessarily a bad thing. The racing industry is shut down.
It's just not the right reason, really.
Mm.
The right reason should be because we just don't want it.
Yes,
that is true.
So, the Catholic Church has unrestricted access to Randwick Racecourse.
Well, that's good. Can help them bet.
Yep.
Where they're expecting 500,000 international and Australian Catholic...
Young Catholic youth, yep.
...pilgrims.
Yep.
Which I think is a great exercise for nuclear weapons testing.
Or chemical weapons testing.
Ooh, nice. They could test the horse flu out.
Yep.
The human version of
avian
the horse flu.
That'd be good. You can try
that'd
that
be good as well. Mm. The airspace will be restricted.
Either that or stand up there, grab the microphone, and just say to them, ladies and gentlemen, the 500,000 amassed young Catholics.
Mm.
God doesn't exist!
Yes,
thank
well,
you
there's
very much.
A law for people like you, Pete. We'll get to that in a second. The airspace will obviously be restricted to emergency police and military aircraft to protect the Pope.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, we've got to remind people that religion is all about peace and, you know,
and love and Jesus.
And peace and love, unless you do something we don't like, in which case we'll bomb the shit out of you.
Yep. Just to build on that point, interesting point you make, the airspace will be restricted. So, doesn't he have God on his side? Isn't it God's airspace when you just go, I strike thee down?
But the Lord needs airspace for
descend
Vatican I.
Right.
The problem is that God hasn't actually got up to speed on, say, the new Airbus A380.
Oh.
He's still struggling the way through the manual, so he can't actually... So if it happens to be one of those going through, he's got a problem.
Okay,
yeah,
so let's get to one of the particular laws that did actually go through with all of this legislation.
No.
As well as the fact that volunteers from the State Emergency Service... And the Rural Fire Service...
G'day, mate. How you doing?
So the SES and the Rural Fire Service will be brought in for crowd control and traffic management.
So what happens if...
Which is a fantastic use of our special service.
Of our volunteer...
Volunteers.
Yeah, volunteer
Private buses will be permitted to be commandeered for transport purposes.
Is there a water cannon going to be used?
It doesn't mention that.
Just on the girls.
But this is the interesting one. No, there's two, actually.
Catholic girls gone wild.
This is the law for you.
Oh, it's what? Catholic girls gone wild?
It will be an offence.
Show us your rosaries.
It will be an offence of $55,000.
Yes. Deals a good line.
Don't
keep going.
It will be an offence of $55,000. Get this, if I can find it again, because I chucked it away.
In a tantrum.
To delay or obstruct any person lawfully entering Randwick Racecourse or carrying out works or to damage the site without lawful excuse.
Yep.
I'm interested in all this because it brings up a point that I've been wondering about for some time. Now, I'm all for...
Yes, you can say whatever you want about your sexuality. It's fine.
I'm all for Catholic Youth Day.
Where's that closet again?
Exactly.
You know, get that brought in?
Yeah. Catholic Youth?
I'm all for... Well,
hello, Father.
Only on toast.
Did you say you're for World Youth Day or Catholic World Youth Day?
I don't know. I'm all for this Catholic World Youth Day, right?
I'm not.
Hold on a second. Okay. Just bear with me.
There's a gag coming.
I'm trying to get it out.
The problem is he spent way too much time.
And that's because
the punchline
decreases in impact.
No, it's not. Simply building on a mystery.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all for this Catholic World Youth Day, right? Fantastic, nice for the Pope to come and say hello to all the Catholic kids. Isn't that fantastic?
Yep, it is.
My problem is, why the fuck should I pay for it?
Fair call.
Which we will get to in a second.
All these laws that are being drafted, all the problems it's going to have with the horse, isn't this why they built, like,
Galilee?
Homebush?
Galilee?
It's all Galilee. Isn't
isn't this why they give them a fucking tax deduction?
Yes. That's very true. The Catholic Church, of course, being the richest organisation in the world.
Yes, in fact, I looked up their annual income. It's something like $30 billion profit.
Nice.
So one of the more interesting attachments to this law that came through as well is laws that protect commercial agreements between the church and the sponsors by restricting advertising around the buildings and structures around on the day.
Because this has been sponsored by a number of communion wine providers.
Yes.
Sepult's Communion Wine, yep.
So say Coke is sponsoring the event, does that mean Pepsi can sponsor Satan for the week?
Jesus Zero.
Wish.
Yes.
I would. If it was my company, I would. Banners up everywhere. Some big flaming dude, you know, with gnarly-looking chicks around him. I drink Pepsi.
So, as opposed to this guy in a pair of robes and a beard going,
Coke.
Coke is it, mate.
So these are administered and specially enacted, it says here, by the World Youth Day Coordination Authority, which means that...
Slates the thirst that a crucifixion causes.
That's good. That's amusing.
Thank you. That's two today.
That's good.
And the authority...
But it is a Catholic education coming to the fore.
Whose authority...
Yep.
...is supreme and cannot be, quote, challenged, reviewed, quashed, or called into
question... What, the head of Cokes?
...in court.
The head of Cokes?
No.
Oh, the minister.
Yes.
Yeah,
these
I know.
Laws
yes, I know. That's
cannot
what I mean
be challenged in court.
That's what I said was draconian. That's never been anywhere else. That they actually have the power to do whatever they want and can never be challenged.
Exactly.
That's absurd.
I know.
That is patent. Why is this happening? I don't understand. It's not important. It bears nothing to the... it doesn't resemble the Australian public in any way, shape, or form.
We let it happen.
The
this
only
is
reason
what
why
me off.
The race course is allowing it is because the amount of money that we're actually paying to the race course, or at least that half the church and half the Australian government is paying to them, doesn't just cover the disruption to racing on the day. Mm. It also builds them a new pavilion, and it also provides them a whole bunch of other things that are completely unrelated to the day that they put on to say, you can only have it if you give us this much money.
Can we point out a private club?
Yes.
Nice.
Now, do you remember that there was a story some, oh, I don't know, 2,000 years ago, and there was this dude, right? And he was wandering around. He had a beard, and it was a bit stinky. Anyway, he wandered around, there was these guys, and they were at the entrance of the temple.
Yep.
And they were lending money. You know, they're lending money
was
to
it
people.
John, was it Aussie John Simon?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, could pretty close. John, yeah. They're lending money to people, and I believe this smelly dude with the beard, he actually overturned all their money lending stuff and kicked them out of the temple, sent them away from the place where people go to worship.
Yep.
Now, my question would be, the Catholic Church said build on this person, who, of course, was against gambling, against money lenders, all that kind of stuff like that, who were blocking the temple. Does this not mean that the Catholics have now technically built a temple in the home of the moneylenders?
Well, it's not a sin. The thing is, the church adapts to modern society, and that's what it's done. It's actually adapted.
It's evolving
over time.
I was going to say that you're confusing a little bit here.
Oh.
There is actually a difference between Jesus and Jesus trademark.
Oh.
They're actually two different people.
Mm. Yeah.
Jesus trademark drinks Coke.
No. Oh.
Jesus the
and
the
gambles
and gambles and likes to convert. Well, I'll use the word convert. Perhaps brainwash young people into believing that Christianity is the path towards being a better person.
Yeah,
Jesus trademark believes that. Whereas Jesus, funnily enough, I actually don't. He wanted people to believe that for themselves.
Mm.
Like, let's assume that what the Bible says or what people talk, what the stories about Jesus are actually true.
Yes.
That he was basically a person who said, I'll talk, and if you like what you hear, then go for it. He wasn't a push salesman, he was definitely a pull salesman.
Mm.
Now,
in fact, so are some of the priests.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, if you're now in a situation, you actually listen to the way these people use Jesus' name as a way of actually, you know, you take the American evangelical movement, you take the Catholic Church, you take whole swathes of people who are basically using Jesus' name to say, if you do not follow Jesus, then you are fucked.
Yes, that's
now,
right.
Is that what they're saying?
Well, it's in books.
It is. You've never heard a preacher say that? Never?
I've heard of functionism.
Yep. That's
I heard in the US that you know, there's a bit of a kerfuffle about
evangelical
functionalism. Whether we should teach evolution or functionalism.
Yeah, exactly right. And of course now they're actually talking about this idea of intelligent functionalism.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, you know, it's always good to look at someone's intellect.
It is. Mm. So my point being,
it's interesting because quite a few groups have spun off and done things like fuck your sisterism and fuck you up the arseholism.
Nice.
But
they're splinter groups.
They're not there.
Just little splinter groups that you don't want to talk about.
And so what's the Catholic one again?
I believe it's just called God.
Oh, really?
Right. Assuming that the idea of Jesus is true, and I guess there's enough historical evidence to say the guy existed.
There was a dude.
There was a dude called Jesus, and what he was is in some dispute.
I think he used to mow Richard Lawn.
He might have.
I don't believe that, because, I mean, who would have a last name of Nazareth? That's just stupid. That is a bit dumb, isn't it? Made-up name for starters.
You're right. So, and with that, Richard has just disproved the existence of Jesus.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
Look,
2,000 years of history disproved by Richard.
Look, that's what it's all about. For so long, we have questioned
the
very existence of a deity.
Well, I haven't.
We've searched.
Yeah, you guys
and
have,
with
yeah.
one foul swoop, one amazing intellectual
revelation, I'd say.
Revelation, so to speak, heaven sent. Mm. Richard just knocked it on the head. He said, look, this is it. That's it. And look, honestly, if it had been of Bethlehem, I'm sorry. I would have argued with him. I would have said, no, I'm sorry, wrong, but of Nazareth.
Come on.
He's so right.
A walk in the Black Forest.
Now.
Richard's fussing about his level.
Now. Ladies and gentlemen, if we maybe, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a, I'm gonna give you some lead in, because I'm just about to play the segment that has a name and an intro.
Ooh,
This is a Walk in the Black Forest.
Battle for Bedalong!
No, that's the name of
take
the
take down your VU!
That's the name of the new book about the Maxine McHugh, victory in Bedalong. And I hope they're paying us.
We should sue.
I want some money out of
it. We should sue, seriously.
After a break for the Australian election. We are now returning to our view or our eyes on the American election.
Yes.
And we will be, are we ready to be starting the segment that is called, and I'm filling with as many words as I can think of.
The interesting thing about this segment, before we actually go into it, is, oh, don't worry about it.
And this is...
Hey, Mr. President.
It's a time for action.
This is the story of Governor Mitt Romney.
Go, 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 Obama, Obama.
I'm yes, ladies and gentlemen. So glad I brought my lowrider in today.
It works well. Add the bling.
I'm not talking my jeans either.
Oh, I got some bling to talk about a bit later too, so we'll add to that outfit.
I'm concerned.
Now, hey, Mr. President, this week turns to the...
blacked down.
Yes. Turns to the Republican Party, and because there's a lot of focus at the moment on the Democrats, because the Democrats
are going to win.
Well, interestingly, there.
Shut up.
Barack Obama's had Oprah come out on his side, and the interesting thing was there was a.
Did she clean up afterwards?
Or? I believe so. There was a bit of there was an Australian angle.
Really?
Yeah, because in the front row, meeting Barack was Jamie Drury.
You know, the whole Jamie Drury Oprah thing's just weird.
It is
did
odd.
Did he build him a house?
No, but he did talk gardens with somebody. I can't remember who it was. Someone interesting. Someone, certainly wasn't Hillary.
No.
No, and, of course, in the Republican side.
Hillary.
I don't think Hillary's going to get it.
I think she will. I think she will too. This is just the usual bollocks that goes on just before the primaries start up.
Maybe it'll be with Obama as a running mate, but otherwise
they're not ready for a black man.
No, but they are ready for a woman president.
They're ready for a woman.
Now, interestingly,
what was a black woman? What if Oprah ran for president?
Oh, she'd win.
Yes, I mean,
how can you turn away a Bush Clinton?
Exactly. It works for me. Bush Clinton. It works for me. Now, interestingly...
You know what that is?
What?
It's a friggin' oligarchy.
It is.
It honestly is. And considering the Clintons and the Bushes are cousins...
Yeah.
And if it's going to happen anywhere, I'm glad it's happening in the US.
Yes, it's true.
Now, interestingly...
Didn't they get a bollocking in Bali?
Wow, it was
unbelievable.
I was watching the Jim Lehrer news hour of the CNN.
Lee Fowler, get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they copped it off the... I believe the delegate from Papua New Guinea.
Yes.
Now, he was fantastic.
Lee Fowler, get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Let us get on with our job.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Fuck you, Uncle Sam. But the Republicans have had a little bit of... over the last couple of weeks, have had a bit of a change in the guard. Mike Huckabee, who we did on the show, I think, around about August.
The huckster.
The huckster has come up in the Iowa primaries, because they've been hanging out in Des Moines and all the big cities of Iowa. Once again, just playing around before it. But this is one of the serious candidates for the Republican...
It's actually Des Moines.
I always thought it was Des Moines.
It's Des Moines.
Des Moines, is it? No, it's not really. No, I didn't think so. He just wanted to...
It's Des Moines. It's like Kansas.
Exactly right.
Now, the problem is that Rudolph Giuliani has a problem, apart from the fact he's an idiot.
Yep.
He also has another problem.
Which one are you referring to?
Well, the one I'm referring to is that really he's made himself Mr. September 11.
He has.
September 11?
Now,
September
11. Exactly.
The problem
whilst I was America's mayor during September 11.
September 11. He actually had very little to do with it.
Very true, and if you talk a lot of the firefighters, they're all going...
Very pissed off. Now, the thing is, all this stuff will come out during the election campaign.
Yep.
So even if he does run for office, the firefighters, the police, anyone who has anything to do with 9/11 will come out and slam him like Hulk Hogan slammed Mr. T.
Yep, exactly right. What you talking about?
Yeah.
That's nice. That was a good reference.
Yeah, thanks.
So yes, as you said, we are talking about Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
Or to give you his full name,
Mr.
Rudolph,
September 11.
Rudolph William Lewis. I was America's mayor during September 11, Giuliani.
That's amazing. It's an honorary title, but he got it.
He is regarded by the American public as a moderate Republican.
Really?
He does actually have fairly moderate views on abortion, gun control, gay marriage.
What does he consider moderate?
That you shoot
we'll
them
have
all.
None of that.
No, you just shoot them all.
All right.
They all just should be shot, according to... No, that's not true for Giuliani. But anyway...
Depends if they're born on September 11th.
That's very true. he was
or
born
if
in
Muslims.
He was born in 1944 on September
11th.
To a working-class family in Brooklyn, New York, which is where they had September 11th.
September 11th.
He attended Bishop Lachlan Memorial High School in Manhattan.
Actually, interestingly enough...
Only a block away from Ground Zero.
I was going to say, there was a guy called Bishop who was killed on September 11th.
There was. He was actually Associate Attorney General during Ronald Reagan's period of time in the in office, but
was well before September 11th.
It was well before September 11th. What's really interesting is that this actually comes off his official site, which is joinrudy2008.com.
911.com.
Yeah, 911.com. No, there's actually joinrudy2008/911.com.
Can I say that all the websites you've given out so far for the candidates have been wrong?
Have they?
Yes.
JoinRudy2008.com.
Well, this might be the first one.
I've got them all right.
You have not.
I have.
Every time I go there, like, you know, it's something or other, 2008 or whatever, and I go there and I go, this is not the guy. Do a bit of a
Google
search.
Yeah, no, because they're running scared, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Woolworths found us.
Woolworths found us. Yeah. Pete in particular, yeah, he's a scary mofo. Yeah. Let's change the URL.
You know what I really like here is the way that whenever Richard speaks, the VU meters, the needle actually bends.
Oh, make me louder. Now, what's interesting here...
I'm going to show you.
There's two things I want to point out that are interesting here. One is, for some strange reason, I didn't know that Rudy Giuliani had a triangle coming out of his nose.
Yep, it's
PR. I didn't know that. You don't see that often.
September 11th?
It must be from September 11th. It's a piece of the World Trade Center building.
Fantastic.
He's appealing to the youth.
He is. Now, the other thing that they don't mention at all on Join Rudy 2008 is that he, in fact, was originally a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
And supported both JFK and George McGovern in their presidential bids, and he did not switch to the Republican Party till 1980. So,
interestingly enough, there's a parallel there with, of course, the leader of the opposition here, Mr. Brendan Nelson.
Yes, Doctor. So, Dr. Brendan Nelson.
Stop not calling him a doctor unless he's actually giving me an examination. He's Mr.
I was going to make a Julie Bishop comment, but I won't. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it because I don't want anyone to look at Julie Bishop in any other way than derisory.
Derisory. Wait a minute. Didn't she sing Life O Life?
She did. Life. That's the one. Rudy, of course, became mayor of New York City in 1993, where, of course, September 11 happened. Under Mayor Giuliani's leadership, September 11 happened, but overall crime was cut by 56%.
Except on
September 11. Yep.
When there was quite a lot of
murders were cut by 66%, once again, on September 11, where they went up quite dramatically.
Quite dramatically.
It's amazing.
2,900 of them in one day.
Yeah.
It's amazing that Rudolph Giuliani, you know, cut the crime rate, but still in his city, they had, you know, the two planes fall out of the sky. Now, he should have looked
on his watch.
That's what I was looking for.
On his watch. Now,
at least they took out some of the eyesores in the New York skyline.
That's true.
They missed him.
They did. Now,
the interesting thing is, though, that figures have just come out that under Bloomberg, murders have fallen to their smallest level ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because Bloomberg, once again, is another person who was originally a Democrat, now is actually running as an independent, allegedly, for the president. Now, Rudy has been married three times. The three spouses are Regina Perugi, Donna Hanover, and Judith Giuliani. One of which
he married his sister? That's disgusting.
One of which he actually divorced after he had an affair just before September 11, which is why he didn't run for the Senate race against Hillary Clinton, in 2000.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all that stuff. Now, interestingly, he's got a few. I want to talk a little bit about his policy platform.
Yep.
He cut tax 23 times as New York mayor.
Wow. And now they can't afford to buy anything.
Now you just get money. You got like you remember when you went to New York?
You just rock up.
You just walk up. You walk.
I've heard of September 11.
You walk up to you walk up to LaGuardia. They say, you know, get in the cab, and the cab driver gives you $50.
That's cool.
It's fantastic. I love going to New York.
Nice.
Make a profit every time. What else
do you
have to say?
It'll pay for that $3,000 airfare.
He did some stuff on government spending, which is boring. He believes that now, see, the thing about Giuliani is his policy platforms, if you looked at them 2 years ago to now, have completely shifted. 2 years ago, he was a massive fan of gun control. Now he says the NRA are America's friend. He used to be anti the whole Iraq thing. Now he says that he believes that the surge is the best thing that has ever happened. He used to be anti-domestic surveillance, saying that it impinged on Americans' privacy. Now he believes that they have a right to listen to every single electronic conversation to find out that plots that may be planned against Americans. He is a full supporter of the use of waterboarding in the questioning of terror suspects. I think we have talked about waterboarding on the show before.
We were going to try that, weren't we?
Yeah, I actually use waterboarding at home.
I use it when I go down to Maroubra Beach, but...
You know.
Yeah, visitors, they get waterboarded?
Yeah, they just come in, they get waterboarded.
Yep. It's amazing. Of course, at the moment, they're making the argument that waterboarding is not terrorism. It is Hornsby, that's true. What else do we want to know? He believes that humans are contributing to global warming, but...
And he thinks that's a good thing.
But he says that
we should all get behind it.
Yes. What we need is more oil reserves. That's the way we should be dealing with global warming. If we had more oil reserves, we wouldn't have a problem. So there's more countries to invade. Social policy. He did have a history of making statements, as I said, about abortion, gay and lesbian rights, gun control, immigration, and school prayer, and he has now dumped all of those, and he now has an extraordinarily conservative image on gun rights, illegal immigration, war on drugs, and opposes the medical use of marijuana.
Right. What about the just...
Recreational use of marijuana? He's up for it.
He's up for that.
Yeah, he's up for that.
Only on September 11th.
That's all good. What else? There's 3 or 4 pages of his stuff on, and he's reasonably...
There's a lot of detail, and a lot of them don't give too much detail.
There's 18 pages on his policy platform.
Wow. What about the policies themselves, or is it just the platform?
It's just the platform that he's standing on. Right. He does support all forms of same-sex civil unions.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Except the ones between same-sex.
Except the ones between men. Or between women. But he's in favour of all other forms of same-sex union. That's all good. Although he did say on Bill O'Reilly's program on Fox News that he is in favour of civil unions, but funnily enough, that changed in 2007 when he said Mayor Giuliani believes, and of course in America you still use your term mayor, even though you haven't been mayor for like 47 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Mayor Giuliani believes that marriage is between one man and one woman. Now, I'd like to know if it was between two men and one woman, if that would be marriage.
Well, hopefully, actually, if it was between two men and one woman, it would be a film.
It would be a film. So
it depends if that off Nazareth bloke is involved.
If that off Nazareth bloke is involved, then we've got a huge problem.
You're the one with the beard.
I had a whole heap of other stuff to talk about, but the printer stopped working, so I can't talk about much more. He's, of course, married to Judith S. Giuliani, who was listed on Easy Monkeys as only the 6th hottest. What was the thing? That's right. Presidential hopefuls' wives I'd like to fuck.
What was that website again, Pete?
Easy Monkeys.
Easy Monkeys.
Are you a big fan of the site? Do you go there very often?
I've never heard of it.
EZMonkeys.com. Go and check it out. Easy Monkeys. And she's listed as number 6, of course. Number 1 being Fred Thompson's wife, Jerry Thompson, followed by the
Kuznich.
She's second.
All right,
she's second.
I was going to say
third by Barbara Obama.
Really?
And number 3.
Isn't
there
that
we go.
Interesting. There Obama, we go. Obama,
Obama, yeah. Obama. Now let's go through the usual array.
I'd forgotten the scoring system.
So let's work on the number of social networking sites that Giuliani has. He has 7.
Bloody hell.
He's got a Flickr, a Facebook, a Dig, a YouTube, a MySpace, a Blip TV, and he has his own iTunes playlist.
That's fantastic.
Funnily enough, do you know what the number 1 song in his iTunes playlist
America
is?
America the Wonderful?
No. New York, New York.
Oh, for frick's sake.
Start spreading the news.
I'm surprised it's not September 11th.
Merchandise. This is rather big. He has 28 t-shirts.
Wow.
36 buttons. 16 stickers. 4
Wait
signs.
Wait a minute.
36 buttons.
Mm-hmm.
16 stickers. 4 signs, 14 other various pieces of clothing, including hoodies, and over 80 other pieces of merchandise, which do include golf balls, clubs, hampers. You can buy Rudy Giuliani gift hampers.
That's what do you actually get in the hamper?
Rudy.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. That's his other song, Rudy, by the Specials. Dead Rudy. That's the one. Now, the best piece for me, there were two fantastic pieces. One, of course, was the T-shirt that said, American Firefighters for Rudy, which no one's wearing. The other one was a...
That's why they're on the site. They've got so much stock.
Oh, yeah, there was also Rudy cufflinks, too, if you want a pair of Rudy cufflinks. But the interesting is a piece of bling. What he's got is a necklace with the word Rudy in done in diamantes.
Oh, that's nice.
So gold back Rudy with diamantes.
That's stylish. It's Flavor Flav style.
It is Flavor Flav style.
How much is that?
$275 American dollars.
Wow, real diamonds must be pretty
cheap. Oh, diamantes.
Oh, diamantes.
Yeah. Diamantes.
Well, diamantes are a girl's best friend.
And finally, how many ringtones?
Gold.
None. I've actually searched. I spent like 10 or 15 seconds.
That's incredible.
Surfing Google with the word Rudy Giuliani and ringtones. None.
Well, we none at all. Appreciate your effort there, Pete.
Look at, so far, of course, the only person who does have ringtones is Barack.
Well, yeah, but we're not surprised.
We're not surprised.
You need to put a message to you, Rudy, in the intro.
I do. That would be good. I'll do that. As we head closer to the election now, because this is now back and we're now focusing our attention back on the United States, we're actually going to be, once the first primary, we're going to start following the campaign in particular parts of America. You know, this idea of looking after New York or L.A., We're going to go into like the exact
into the heartland, the voting heartland.
I am
going to
find
the
geographic center of America.
Wow!
And that's what we're going to focus on.
That's great.
The official now that could be the middle of the Grand Canyon, in which case I'm going to stand in the geographic heart of America, which I intend to do in March. I'm actually going to be where the geographic heart of America is.
Can you stop it? Every time he mentions anything, he's going there. I've never been anywhere.
And I'm
going
to call this show geographic heart of America.
I'm going to shoot the first guy who took you out of this frickin' country. I really am.
It put a monster in me.
Who is it, Nick?
No,
you
no.
To beat up?
No, actually, no.
Gordon.
No, no.
I bet
no.
It's Gordon.
I went, Fee and I just went across to...
Fee, I've got
to
punch out Fee.
Punch out Fee.
Right.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Yeah, she's pretty vicious.
I know, she's going to work for NATO.
Yeah, she's going to suffer that, yes. No, she's going to work for the International Criminal Court.
You know they're a bunch
court.
Of pussies,
oh,
right?
Oh, God, sorry?
You know they're a bunch of pussies, right?
NATO?
Yeah,
but they've got guns. Unfortunately, they're French guns.
Yeah.
So, over the next couple of weeks, we're gonna focus on that, and yes,
Did you see the Iraqi forces? Because the British have handed over Basra, right?
Yeah.
And they had this
Because it's fixed.
Yeah, it's all sorted.
Peace has come.
Jolly good show. We're off.
And cleaned up afterwards.
And they showed the Iraqi forces running around with their AK-47s. So we're going to take over for these guys. This is a bit of a physical thing. This is how they're holding them.
Out front, arms stretched.
Out front, arms stretched, arms slightly bent. They jumped around a corner and sort of he thrust it in front of him as he fired it.
So I'm assuming being technical, the kick on that would actually mean that you wouldn't
both your elbows.
I was going to say you wouldn't be able to hit a watermelon at about 4 foot.
Well, considering he wasn't facing in front of him, you always shoot the guy next to you.
Depends on the watermelon.
Depends on the size of the watermelon. That's very true. Or the foot. I have no idea what I'm going to say. That was Hey Mr. President.
End of segment, bring it down, find a line that works, that's it, bang.
Done.
Go.
Hey Mr. President, next week. Oh no, not next week.
A message to you, Rudy.
This is the Woolworth News for Tuesday, 18th of December, 2007. Today, Premier Morris Yemmer met with and congratulated the state's top HSE students, saying, "It's nearly 30 years since my HSC, and I'll never forget the tense, anxious weeks of waiting. Waiting for the results is one of the most agonising waits you will ever experience. Aside, of course, from waiting to see if the state's voters will give Labor yet another go at fucking up New South Wales." Not to be outdone by Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, Mr. Yemmer spoke in mock Italian for several minutes, confusing everyone who'd turned out to the Conservatorium of Music for the presentation. 67,000 students this year sat for the HSC. Five with hemorrhoids decided to stand. 66,000 returning from schoolies decided to lie down for a bit, and several tried to sit, but were still too stoned and flew too high to be counted. Australian stuntman Mark Connolly passed away last Friday, several days after winning a $1 million compensation claim against the makers of the film Mission Impossible 2 for injuries he received on the set in 1999. Connolly bears a strong resemblance to Tom Cruise and was his stunt double in the film. There was no evidence to suggest that Tom or Paramount Pictures were involved in the death, although they did take the opportunity to once more apologise for Ronald D. Moore having written the story. When asked for comment, Nicole suggested that perhaps on the day Tom should have done his own stunt, which would have put him in good stead to perhaps replace Connolly himself when he passed away, being his own final stunt. In reply, Tom Cruise has suggested that perhaps Nicole could stop being such a cunning stunt, to which Nicole said that's the kind of childish stunt she'd expect from Ethan Hunt while stuck halfway up Dawson's Creek without a paddle. And finally, three men were charged today for attempting to smuggle $8 million worth of ice into Australia inside 20 kilos of wax candles. While no evidence was actually found, suspicions were raised when the three men opened their overhead compartments and drowned 247 people inside the 747 in which they were travelling. Detective Inspector Lehman reported that the seizure would have a significant impact on the availability of ice in Australia, particularly through these hot summer months, as beer drinkers would be drinking warm VB over the Christmas period. And that's the Woolworth News for this week.
Okay, no, there's not. It's exclusive programming.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No.
No. It's
I know it's exclusive programming, but there's a standard def feed of it.
No.
But isn't it amazing though? There at the is. Same, is it?
No, there's not.
If you go to Channel 10,
like, okay, so Channel 10 Digital, right?
Yeah.
And Channel 10 Digital has some of the, is the normal Channel 10, right? So that's the standard definition. Sure. And then Channel 10 HD has a lot of the programs plus some extra ones.
Yeah.
So for instance, standard.
And there's also a standard def feed of it.
So standard definition Channel 10, right, would show Letterman in standard definition.
Mm, sure.
Okay, but the high definition one shows it in high def, because it's actually, Letterman's actually filmed in high definition. Did you know that?
Sure.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's actually filmed in high definition.
A lot of things.
Yeah, I wasn't aware. So things like Battlestar Galactica and The Shield is in high def, but will not actually be shown on Channel 10 Digital. So there's three Channel 10 stations. 10 Digital.
10 HD.
10 HD and 10 Guide. They're the three 10s.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the 10 analog, which is only...
Which is not on your set.
Yeah. There's meant to be a standard
feed of the HD channel.
Feed of the HD channel.
I am unaware, but as far as I know, then no.
Isn't it amazing?
They're doing this whole, like, you know, 1080i surround sound with...
But the whole point was to provide two channels of programming content, of which one has an optional HD feed of it.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty silly to give just an HD feed when not many people still have... high def.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's in 10's best interest to provide that as a standard def feed as well.
That's
much the same way ABC2, SBS2 and all those ones have.
But isn't the reason why 10's doing HD is also to help it comply with its output deals?
Oh, could be.
It has to show things like The Shield and Torchwood and whatever else, because they have output deals with those networks.
Exactly right. That's right.
And they just don't fit in the normal realm because no one fucking watches them.
And Channel 9 are also going to have their own one as well, apparently. ABC, this is going to be an ABC 3.
Yeah.
That's coming up. And Channel 7's high definition channel, which doesn't work. So Channel 10 high definition is this, right? The single Channel 7 high-definition program is on a Sunday night, and it's one movie at 10:30, and it's not a high-definition movie.
And so the rest of the time, they're just showing the normal Channel 7 signal.
Yeah, it's just normal feed, but some of the programs you have to watch through your surround sound because it's sending the high-definition audio through.
Unfortunately, I still can't watch it because I haven't got a high-def.
See,
I don't have a high-def TV. Maybe that's why I can't watch it.
Maybe.
Can you only watch it on a high-def TV?
I've got a high-def TV, so I don't know.
Do a rescan. I'm pretty sure you can get a standard def feed from it.
Have a look.
Sure. I'll do a rescan on it.
I'm going to buy one.
This is the Walking Back Forest. Next on Tech Talk, we're going to be chatting about the new MP3 players. Well, Richard's going to be reviewing the Nano, and Abe's going to be pulling the Nano that he's been carrying in his butt for the last 4 weeks.
I was about to say, what the hell are you talking about? That's not even funny, but that last bit was.
It puts a whole new spin on the idea of brownback.
It does. It also gives the whole idea... No, I was going to say something funny. Anyway.
Don't do something
anyway.
Funny.
www.whatbackforest.org.
Whatever
it is. .org. That's it, isn't it?
Mm.
FFS.org, I don't know.
What
is the website?
What are you talking about?
I'm not giving the website. No, I'm not actually. I've had nothing to drink for 3 days.
The internet.
Are you detoxing, are you?
I'm detoxing before I go away.
Why
is that?
Well, because, you know, I'm going to be perhaps eating things that aren't that good for me.
But aren't you doing your usual, you know, watching the cricket thing?
No, I only just finished, I went on leave like last Thursday, so I haven't actually done a lot other than run round. Today I had to go and help my mum set up her broadband. That was exciting.
If you'd like
a blow-by-blow description of that, I'm happy to give it to you.
Could I tell you, I helped my mum set up her broadband on the phone.
Nice.
That was fun.
That was exciting.
So there's a blue cable. There's a black cable. No, it's blue. It's got a kind of like a biggish end on it. What do I do with the black one? No, the blue one.
You know, that sounded very similar to the fact that my mum was, every time she tried to type something, it wouldn't type, and I had to spend half an hour explaining to her, your keyboard's broken. Yeah, but I can't type. I can move the mouse. Yes, your keyboard's broken, but the mouse moves. How can the keyboard be broken?
Oh, no.
Yes, mum. Oh, but then it's the whole thing about, well, you just got to go to the shop and buy a keyboard with a USB. Yeah, but what sort of keyboard? Just a keyboard with a USB. What? You come from your house to my house. It's only going to take you an hour and a half by public transport. I'll buy you lunch at the food court in Parramatta, and then you can help me buy a keyboard.
Now, of course...
Ace. I love families. And you wonder why Fee's moving to The Hague for 7 months.
Yeah, well, I'm actually about to move my phone line, so yeah. I'm going to see how many days it usually takes.
The five working days?
It usually takes them 12 of the possible 13 days to move my ADSL connection.
Can I point out
the last three freaking
Can I point out something to you, though? Because I actually had a bit of a chat to the ISP that is involved with this with this transaction today.
And what they say? Get fucked.
Yeah, pretty much. No, that's what I told them when the fact my broadband hasn't worked properly for 2 months. Hello, mother.
Oh,
fix
my God! I'm probably
broadband.
On your exchange now.
Yes, you are.
Oh no!
But it's nothing. My broadband is working perfectly,
except when you want to use it.
Except when I actually turn the computer on and open up Internet Explorer, and the broadband connection drops down to zero.
Oh, that's
for 3.5 hours.
IE uses quite a bit of bandwidth.
It does, and as the guy from that certain internet service provider that we're referring to, Atlantic or something like that, they said my broadband's perfect. That is the way broadband. And in fact,
why are you complaining then?
And as they said, if I want my broadband to work properly, I should just download less, because the less you download, the better your broadband works.
What?
And so if you could get, you know what? If you could get your broadband down to zero, it works perfectly.
You get that in writing.
I got it in email.
Classic statement.
I have it in email. I can forward you the email.
I'm going to probably get my own by the sound of it.
That goes on the site.
So the interesting thing they said is that Telstra is doing no ADSL connections between the 21st of December and the 7th of January.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Yes.
So Richard's gone for 3 weeks.
Richard's online for 3 weeks.
I gotta make a call.
Yeah, like tomorrow. Now. Yeah, like tomorrow. Yes. And because that actually 20. Ooh, you'd be just. You're in that potential 5 day zone. You never know.
It'll take 12, man. It always takes 12.
So yes, the tip, ladies and gentlemen. Another thing in Tech Talk is, remember, the less you use your broadband, the better it works. That's really important, because you know what? Actually, you should apply that to your life. You know, if you think about that, the less you use your lungs,
exactly,
the better they work.
Yeah,
the less you use your heart.
The less you live, the less you wear it out.
Yeah, exactly. The less you choose to live, the easier it's going to be to die. All of those things are beautiful. That's what Jesus told me. That's Jesus TM, of course.
Is anyone having a dogma moment talking about all this?
Oh, don't even.
Pope stuff?
Oh, yes, I'm definitely having a dogma moment. I watched Dogma last week.
Oh, cool, man.
How could you stand it?
It was it's a decent film.
Hard
I like Dogma.
The freaking first time.
You know what? The biggest problem with Dogma? Ben Affleck.
Hey, listen. Ben Affleck's cool. The biggest problem with it was that stupid Floriani annoying girl.
Linda Fiorentino.
Oh.
The biggest problem with it, in my opinion, was all of it.
Was Kevin Smith.
Well, that's ultimately the sort of...
Did you know that Kevin Smith made some film, I think with Jennifer Garner, where he was like one of three blokes competing for her?
Yeah, I saw it.
You saw it?
Catch and Release.
What was it? I just saw it and went, he's doing a romantic comedy?
Yeah, he did. He was quite good. He was actually really good in it. It was Catch and Release.
Which is good, because he's notable for his romance and his comedies.
He's notable for his acting. Mm. That's one of his high points of his career.
Actually, I saw Kevin Smith in, was it Punisher or... One of those the other day as well. Mm. The other week I hired Punisher or one of those. Anyway.
He's such a whore.
Yes. So, well, considering he's doing a movie called Porno at the moment.
Yes, that's right.
Now, Catch and Release, it's about Jennifer Garner.
Yep.
Now, she's getting married to this guy and he dies right at the start of the film. I think it's the day of her wedding. So her wedding cake's...
Couldn't he take that role?
he auditioned for it. But they thought his personality was too big.
Right. Mm.
So what happened was...
His dick was too small. As he would say.
As he would say. He's going back on that now, you know.
Yeah, is he?
Yeah, he's going, oh, it's an average size. For years it's been the size of a pebble, and now all of a sudden it's an average size.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the idea is that the funeral of her husband is actually on the wedding day.
Yeah.
So, you know, because they haven't cancelled everything... A funeral guests are turning up and the wedding cake turns up, stuff like that. Anyway, and so she kind of, his friends really support her, which is Kevin Smith and these two other guys, Richard is absolutely
bored shitless.
Enamored of this conversation.
And so I was watching Kid Nation. Yeah.
So these guys, and they basically help her out, and that's the idea, and that's the story.
Yeah.
It's quite a good film, actually. It's a nice little romantic comedy.
And I assume it did well at the box office?
I don't know. I think it did
it
well.
Went, it, like it had a good, say, 3 or 4 month run at the cinemas here?
No. DVD, straight to DVD. Straight to DVD here.
A fantastic series.
And, but on the other hand, I think the DVD was popular because the Smith man was plugging it. You can actually get a Kevin Smith edition. He signs it. Not like crap.
He signs everything.
I know.
He's a whore.
Well, that's really interesting.
Anyway, off Kevin Smith now.
It's almost as interesting as it is funny.
Now, we should point out that this is our last show
for... Yeah, it's interesting tomorrow because I'm actually doing some moving, so I'm going to be putting things into boxes, and then I'll be carrying the boxes to the new house. And when I actually get to the new place,
but guess what
I'll probably do is carry the boxes in.
Guess what?
And unpack them. And then I might actually go back and get some more boxes.
Yeah, but guess what?
Carry them over.
You're not going to be checking your fucking email, are you?
No, I'm not.
A walk in the black forest.
Can I just verify one thing? Mm-hmm. Who was right?
Who was right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I believe I was. Pete was wrong. Richard was right.
I don't know. How do we put that in a good way? I can't think of a positive spin on that.
Let's get it over to John Howard. I reckon he can put a positive spin on it.
It wasn't a core promise, was it?
No, it wasn't a core promise.
Don't worry. I don't remember any core anything.
I'm going to stay the course.
No, you're going to stay the course.
And I still am.
Oh, you are the course man.
I am the course man. This is Walk Back Forest, RRR 88.5 FM.
So I saw this Kevin Smith film the other day.
Yeah, turn the fucker off. Anyway.
How about Clerks 2 for $14.92?
I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen. Nice. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the segment that just will not go away.
Oh, yes.
Oh, isn't Abe doing his?
No.
You were about to do it. Okay, I'll do mine now.
This is the segment that we cannot get rid of. We've tried.
You did the special effects.
I know, you did. Oh, I'll do it again. Well, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Go. Bull smoke. It's getting better. It's getting better.
I'll give you that. Compared to what you used to do, which was just nothing.
What? Bull smoking. So I wouldn't. Richard, I wouldn't complain.
If you, dear listener, can remember what the hell that's about, please send us an email at Pete's Crappy at walkblackforest.org, and we'll send you a very special present via email.
Yes,
I have to tell you.
Yep.
At my work the other day, a woman rang and she said, "I recognise your voice." And I went, "Oh, look, she's remembering that time I filled in for Rob Ruff on Deal or No Deal, or whatever that show is."
No, Andrew O'Keefe.
And I was thinking Rob Ruff, Family Feud, but I got the show.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Anyway, and I'm thinking, look, you know, she's remembering me. That's really embarrassing. And she goes, "Didn't you used to do some radio?" And I'm like, "Yes." And she goes, "Oh, I don't know if you remember me. My name's Robin. You guys sent me a T-shirt once." And I'm like,
did we?
A T-shirt? And I'm thinking, actually, I think I do remember you. And then she rang back another day, and she'd found the T-shirt. And yeah, she had, I remember it, absolutely. Robin, who won a T-shirt.
On this show?
Yes, on this show, recognised my voice.
Wow.
It's true.
You didn't tell her to listen again, did you?
No.
Good.
See, I told you, I got recognised walking through Eastwood Mall on Granny Smith Day. Some guy just came up and said, "Hey, Pete, how you doing?" And I went, "Yeah." And he goes, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I listen to Walking by Forest."
How the hell would he know what you look like?
Cause, no, because I was doing my...
Because
my,
that spoils the gag.
Oh. No, I was actually doing my narrating for the, for my Fellini-esque balloon film. My balloon series.
Balloon montage.
Yeah, balloon montage. Thank you. That's it.
And someone knew you.
Yeah, he heard the voice and he said...
Was it Bruce, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, no. It was just some random guy. He just, you know, said, hey, Pete, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, mate.
Do you think it might be that guy?
Was he going for a drink? Was he going for a beer, you know? Maybe a spot of dinner? Yeah. Exactly.
It's funny, I was actually walking down the street in...
Paul smoking. Sorry.
In Epping.
Yep.
My current home electorate the other day. And I was just walking along by my own business, and this guy goes, hey, Richard, how you doing?
Yep.
I turned around, and, you know, wow, he knew me.
It was John Howard.
No, it's a friend of mine.
And he complains about you reviewing Catch and Release.
Can I edit that bit out?
Yeah. So it's almost like, so I was walking down the street and, I walked. Right, back to Richard.
Right. So, BU meters. Good thing or a bad thing?
No, so like, anyway, Richard's narration is going to be...
It's like, good thing, bad thing.
Richard's actually going to
sort
do
of,
it. Richard's going
to
do
it. But I just did it with more skill.
Richard's doing his whole segment through Pete's mic.
Ka-ching!
Oh. Right, Roy Morgan polling.
Yep.
I hear Roy is a great poller.
He is, but they've never actually shown photos, and he stands by that. Mm. According to this recent poll, which was December the 12th, it says that this is all about job security and unemployment sort of things. Apparently, job security... 4 in 5 Australians, right, so 80% who work full or part-time say their present job is safe.
Yep.
Well, 18% say there is a chance they may become unemployed and 2% didn't know. Probably.
So 18% believe that they are going to become unemployed.
No, 18%, yes.
What's really interesting with that, of course, is that the stock market, I believe, yesterday wiped $50 billion off its value.
It was 50, but it was big.
It was quite a big, with the collapse of the Centro Property Group.
Yeah, but we don't talk about those people, because I'm sure all those people who are involved in that would be in the 80% thinking, no, my job's safe, mate.
No, I reckon the 18% are the former members of the Liberal Party.
That's them.
Mm.
Now,
Fran Bailey, by the way, won her seat of McEwen this week.
Yeah, by 12.
By 12 votes. She'd originally lost it by 7, then won it by 12.
And there's now going to be another recount from what
No, she'd originally lost it by 7.
That's what I said, she lost it by 7.
Oh, sorry, I thought
and
she
now won. She won it by 12. And there was a period where she'd actually won it by 6, but then won it by 12.
Now, so, it's an amazing... That, you know, I think that's a real tribute to her.
It is.
As a politician, that people love her so much.
I do.
Oh, stop
it's
it.
Fantastic. It's awesome.
And she was one of the two votes that actually got Nelson winning over Turnbull.
Oh. Mm.
Really?
Yep. Malcolm questioned that for about half a second and then thought better of it.
72% of workers say that if they were to become unemployed, they'd be able to find a new job fairly quickly, which is the highest record ever in Australia.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
The last highest was 69% said that they would be able to find a new job in 1988.
69, dude! So the remaining, 17.9% said that they wouldn't be able to find one quickly, and the 0.1%, which would be John Howard, doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Now, he's already found a job.
He already has. That's true.
Fuck all and pension.
Yeah. Playing golf, too.
Yes, exactly. Playing golf, and I think I'm done with that.
This is a random lightning strike.
I think that's ironic, considering he's now playing golf and sent us to
the golf. Ooh,
so the headline here is that Rudd's honeymoon...
Up there for thinking, down there for dancing.
Rudd's honeymoon has begun.
Up here for thinking, down there for pleasuring Jessica Biel.
And...
wow.
Rudd's honeymoon's begun.
I've always preferred the other daughter.
I know, but you're a freak. She was 12.
What was her name again? It was, I'll remember it in a minute.
Oh, good. December.
Sorry, go for it.
2007.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I'm with you.
The federal voting intention.
Yep.
So they've taken another poll.
Yep.
Who would you vote for in the next federal election?
Also, the next federal election after the current one we just had.
Yes.
Yep.
So they're getting in early, just a touch early, 3 weeks. 49% ALP, 36.5% the coalition.
So it's roughly what it was during the election.
Roughly. And this is the interesting one. Who do you think would win the next election, right? Who do you think, regardless of who you're voting for? ALP, 58%, coalition, 14.5%.
Oh!
Scathing.
Scathing. Definitely scathing.
Yes. And I think that's it at this point. Also, the government has the highest confidence rating since War since I think John Howard was empowered, to be honest.
Which was about 2 months ago. About 2 months ago? No, a month ago, really. He's only been in there for a month. And you know what? He hasn't even been Prime Minister for that month. He's had Julia up there for a... Actually, speaking of Julia, just briefly, I want to just...
Julia,
I got a Christmas card today, Julia, sent to me... Julia, sent to Julia. Me at, like, my name, at my address, from someone I have no idea who the fuck they actually are. It's just this, I don't know the name, I've never heard of them. She wrote some message in there about how she's writing a script and how good her life is and whatever else. And I have no idea who the hell they are. Just this random Christmas card addressed to me personally. Hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you for a while, blah, blah, blah. Who is this person? I have no idea.
What was her name?
Odd. Julia Osborne. She I have no idea.
Maybe you'd maybe lectured to her at some point?
No. With a name like that? No.
It's not Matt Nanzer's stage name, is it?
It could be Matt Nanzer's stage name. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah, so you're not thinking outside the box, Pete.
No, I'm not thinking outside the box.
I don't know Julia.
I don't know this person. I have no idea who she is. And it wasn't like to Pete and Fee. If it was to Pete and Fee, I'd go, maybe it was one of Fee's friends.
Okay, so if you're out there and you know who this person is, write to us at iknowjulia.
Yep,
at walkblackforest.org.
Yep, we'd like to know, because I'd like to know who this person is. I should actually ring her number and actually say, so who the do you?
Yeah, ring her up.
Yeah, I should
Let's
do that.
Let's do it now.
Why not?
Let's ring her now.
On live on air.
Yeah,
why not?
Hello, would you like your call to go to air? No.
No. This is Walkback Forest 88.5 FM. Delta's taken a new turn with her career.
Look, I always
got left her voice.
Exactly right.
I love the work she's done with the Spice Girls. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Well, she's taking.
Why are we going to listen to that? Why are we listening to that?
What's
that? That was the end of the song.
That was the end of the song.
That's it.
That was the end of the song. It's a fader.
Honestly, that's it.
Wow. What was that apart from being Delta? Guest vocaling with, who was it?
That's called The Century Fade, which is quite...
Yeah, it makes quite sense, yes.
You think about it. From a band called God Forbid off their Sickness and Misery CD.
Wow, God Forbid.
And, so it's a good Christmas present.
It's a great
Christmas present. Mm-hmm. It even softens the volume as the kids go to sleep.
Yes, exactly, it does.
This is what they talk about when they say sharing the love. At this time of year, basically it says, death lies in wait, unready to reveal itself. The emptiness of tragedy left in its path, wreaking havoc. No, not time or place, only that it will be too late. And I think that's something that I'm actually going to put on my Christmas cards this year.
I think so.
There's
something in that for all of us.
If you'd like to visit God Forbid's website, you can, which is myspace.com/God. For the numeric 4, BID, B-I-D, and you can visit them there and say you heard their song on this here program. I'm going to.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Richard, I believe it's you who's up.
I just got a quickie.
Yep.
I know.
You free?
Would you like some material?
I'm ready.
Good. Do you remember 2468,
bog in, don't wait.
Do you remember, it's just a follow-up story, do you remember 6 months ago, I don't know whether we did it on the show, maybe we didn't, but
we could have just done it between the two of us.
A couple in New York.
Private conversation.
Were found to have kept slaves.
Yes, I think we did mention that in the show.
Two Indonesian women.
Yep.
Well, they've just had their day in court, or their week in court, and they were found guilty.
Their 15 minutes of fame.
Found guilty.
Guilty in the first degree.
In the process, the wife fainted.
Ooh, banana
as well.
They're always guilty.
But this is where they got two Indonesian women over here, promised to pay them $200 a month for housekeeping duties, but ended up keeping them as slaves.
Sex slaves or just slaves generally?
Just slaves, you know, like cleaning and cooking and all that sort of stuff. They confiscated their passports for quite a few years. They were subjected to beatings with brooms, scalding with water, and being forced to eat red hot chili peppers, as well as carrying out household duties.
Nice.
Which is...
Why?
Which red hot chili pepper did they eat?
Flea.
I wouldn't eat Flea.
No, he's got cred. He's got cred. The others can...
I'd probably eat Anthony Kiedis first.
Well, he wouldn't be the first one.
Yeah. And I'd probably leave John Frusciante to last, you know. It's a bit skanky after the heroin thing. It's just,
And that's it. Chad. But that's all the story. But I am going to read just two lines.
Chad.
two lines from the story, which have nothing to do with the story, really, yeah, but they're just—they're just amusing lines,
yeah,
considering the current mood we're in. One said, "Inung," which is one of the ladies.
Yeah.
"Inung was found by authorities in the home, hiding in a closet."
Oh,
along with the guy from Beauty and the Geek.
I was going to say, maybe they could get married.
And the judge in the court of New York ordered the jury to return tomorrow so that each juror could be individually polled to confirm the verdict.
Nice.
Well, wouldn't be the first one polled.
And that was a subtext to pole smoking.
It was.
There we go. It. Now, as I was halfway through explaining before I was rudely interrupted.
Was that by me?
No, it was by me. I interrupted myself. This is our final show for the year. We shall return in 2008.
But now, fear not. We shall broadcast on the beaches. We shall broadcast on the...
In the sand.
From a submarine.
Nice. That'd actually be a good one. Can we go? Can we broadcast from a submarine?
Yeah.
I certainly sound like I'm broadcasting from a submarine every day. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, so we'll return in 2008. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be playing some...
Your crap.
No, well, it is of my crap, but we're going to play some great documentary material, which is available through open source archives.
Mm.
So we've got a couple of those over the next couple of weeks. I believe you're, Abe, going to put together a best of 2007
yes.
show.
Awesome. There is a 2007 show coming up, so hopefully.
And for the rest of the hour and 25 minutes?
I'm not really too sure what we're going to do in that time. I was actually just going to hum.
Okay.
Which
nice.
Would be good.
Just the intro thing?
That's definitely one of my highlights.
Yeah. So, as a highlight, so a little highlight thing of the show, so
yep.
Hopefully that'll be. And that'll be probably the week. I'm trying to work out the dates in my head.
Well, the listener will hear
it's
it
probably
when it
going
comes up,
into,
I guess.
And of course, if you're downloading this,
and then
it will
you're
be
taking a bit of time off, aren't you, Pete?
I am taking a bit of time off. I'm off for a month, so
back in when? Feb?
I'll be back early Feb.
Early Feb.
And
now, of course, Pete's doing his duty. Every year, Pete has to do a month.
Yeah.
With the lay girls.
Yeah.
Basically. And you're touring. What are you touring? Iraq?
No, I'm touring. Iraq's on the way.
Okay.
We're stopping in Iraq, but we're not telling people about that because you being like most tours of Iraq, you've just got to turn up there.
Oh, right.
Yeah. In a flak jacket with a film crew.
No, it's
I think that's the way you meant to go to Iraq. I believe that's actually on the passport, similar to the passport that the Libyan government has now implemented, that no one whose passport is not in Arabic can go to Libya.
Oh, that's a stupid idea.
Very useful. So I'm actually visiting Hong Kong, Shanghai, and I'm also visiting the Netherlands.
Oh, right. Ooh.
Sounds great.
Yes. Not fun.
Don't want to spoil it for you.
Yep.
Shanghai's not in Hong Kong.
No. What?
No, it's not.
I've heard they're both in Queensland. What, I've got to leave Australia and not...
Well, one is, but the other one isn't.
Fair enough. Mm. So we're going, we'll be back, as I said, for 2008. New stuff. We've got new segments planned for 2008. We've got, new contributors, hopefully, planned for 2008. The second season of Frank and Dale coming up in 2008 as well.
Very exciting.
Very exciting for the new season of Frank and Dale. If you've not found Frank and Dale yet, you need to go to frankanddale.com to download season one.
Mm. And while you're there, just ignore the comments that say, it's fucking dead, it's not coming back, you bunch of idiots, this is
stupid. Oh, did someone write that?
Yeah.
Bastard!
Really?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, they're obviously very disappointed. Look,
or the comment on YouTube that said, thanks a lot, mate, can I have the minute and 50 seconds of my life back?
I didn't know it was on YouTube.
Oh, the outtakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So,
Is that a different outtakes or the other?
The other outtakes we did.
Oh, okay, cool.
Along with the fact that there are hundreds of people who actually really like it.
Yes.
So, frankanddale.com is the place to go and check out our marvellous acting and voice work.
It's a chronicle of World War II.
It is a chronicle of World War II. Far more accurate than anything AJP Taylor fucking wrote. So,
Wee wee.
Poo poo.
Yes, you dick.
I know, I get it.
You speak French, don't
occasionally,
you?
Occasionally, yes.
Parlez-vous français.
Parlez-vous anglaisie, mate.
That's
so we'll be back in 2008, and yes, I will be reporting from all around the world because I fucking can.
And look, have a fantastic Christmas and New Year's season.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, if you believe in Christmas, then it's not real.
Santa doesn't exist.
He doesn't exist.
Neither does Jesus.
Of Nazareth.
Particularly of Nazareth.
The guy from Bethlehem, though, he's down with his posse.
And Jesus of Cabramatta, he's definitely there.
Yeah, it could be. So have a great Christmas and New Year's season. Hopefully have you back next year.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be back
and,
next year.
There'll be lots of stuff in the meantime. While
so stay listening, stay downloading the stuff. Go back to the old shows. If this is like an early show, if you go there's actually almost 2 years worth of shows on that site.
How many hours of plugs are you going to do? You've been plugging things for about the last 15 fucking minutes.
I've been plugging things for the last year and a half. Someone's got to do it.
Oh yes, and if you liked show 247, then go back to 159. That was a fantastic show, particularly 15 minutes and 42 seconds in.
Yeah, that's a really good part, actually. I like that. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
I think that's where you get disemboweled.
I thought it was a bit where you suck the eyeball.
See, the interesting thing about this is who gets the last light in? Me.
Stuff you.